Good morning. For WBAI in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Tuesday, October 28th, 2014. Three appeals courts are hearing lawsuits against the NSA's collection of Americans' telephone records. Judges in lower courts are grappling with the admissibility in terror prosecutions of evidence gained through the NSA's warrantless surveillance. This all follows revelations last year by former NSA contractor Ed Snowden of once secret intelligence collection programs. Advocates say the activity shows how a post-9/11 surveillance debate, once primarily hashed out among lawmakers in secret, is being increasingly aired in open court, not only in New York and Washington, but in places like Idaho and Colorado. Jamil Jaffer, deputy legal director at the ACLU, said the thing that is different about the debate right now is that courts are much more of a factor in it. He said before the Snowden disclosures, courts were generally relegated to the sidelines of the discussion. Now judges are poised to make major decisions on at least some of the matters in the coming months. Though it's unclear whether the Supreme Court will weigh in, the cases are proceeding at a time when justices appear increasingly comfortable taking up digital privacy matters, including GPS tracking of cars and police searches of cell phones. The federal government has sued New York City. It says the city ripped off Medicaid for millions of dollars by submitting tens of thousands of false claims. The lawsuit was filed in Manhattan federal court. It says the city and a computer company used computer programs to dodge a requirement that Medicaid be billed only after private insurance coverage is exhausted. The lawsuit says false diagnosis codes were submitted to Medicaid. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara says the city's aim was to get paid by Medicaid as quickly and as much as possible. The city's law office says it strongly disagrees with the claims and the city acted appropriately. It says the case involves technical billing issues, not fraud. Toronto's scandal-ridden and embarrassing era of Mayor Rob Ford has ended. Voters chose moderate conservative John Tory. The National Transportation Safety Board is set to announce the probable cause of last December's derailment of a commuter rail train in the Bronx that killed four people. Engineer William Rockefeller suffered from sleep apnea. He told investigators he felt dazed before his train derailed, going 82 miles per hour heading into a 30-mile-per-hour curve. Mayor Bill de Blasio signed into law a change in New York City's speed limit. The new default speed limit is 25 miles per hour. It goes into effect next week. The embattled top uniformed officer in New York City's troubled jail system is now set to retire. William Clemens came under scrutiny following his May promotion by jails commissioner Joseph Pont. Clemens was one of two supervisors in 2012 who omitted hundreds of inmate fights from statistics turned over to federal authorities investigating violence on Rikers Island. New York City council members were outraged when he didn't attend an October 8th oversight hearing. One council member told Pont that Clemens' promotion didn't instill confidence in changes at Rikers. New York City officials on Monday warned principals to be on the lookout for bullying of West African students after two brothers from Senegal reported being taunted with chants of Ebola and attacked. An advocacy group for African immigrants said the brothers aged 11 and 13 also were jumped and beaten during the taunting Friday afternoon at a Bronx middle school. Administrators met with the boy's father on Monday morning. Afterwards, officials at the Department of Education said they were working to discourage bullying and dispel misinformation about how Ebola can spread. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power traveled to West Africa to assess the situation. On her Twitter, Power expressed confidence that the epidemic would be defeated, but quoted one worker at a non-government organization saying, "Aid workers are running behind a train, and the train is going faster than us." In Sierra Leone, she tweeted, "Scale of need is staggering. Lack of ambulances, fuel, radios, or ability to keep files on patients. Most basic resources will help save lives." And last night, discussed core challenges with civil society in Sierra Leone, 1,185 health facilities, but many still without gloves, chlorine, need supplies to do work. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, made a direct appeal on Monday for governments not to quarantine healthcare workers returning to their shores. From Ethiopia, he said the situation for returning healthcare workers is proving difficult and that the stigma against them should end. Ebola has infected more than 10,000 people and killed about half of them, the vast majority in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. According to the World Health Organization, 450 healthcare workers are known to have been infected with Ebola, and 244 have died. And finally, Flood Wall Street activists have their day in court. 102 people were arrested the day after the climate march. They flooded Wall Street with nonviolent direct action in the heart of New York's financial district. So far, about 11 refused to accept a plea and are insisting on taking the case to trial. Pack the court this morning at 100 Center Street. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.